Well, welcome everybody on this beautiful Sabbath. The other day I was driving on Highway 99 through the business area of Linwood and noticed the overabundance of signs along that road. I mean, there were billboards, there were highway signs, store signs, garage sale signs. This reminded me of a song that was made popular a few years ago that said, "Signs, signs, everywhere a sign." It seems that many people are lost in this life and seek a sign about the direction they shall go. The sign that they're really looking for is a spiritual sign. Now, the Bible mentions that in the end times, many signs will be given to the people of this earth. The question for us then is, how will we know which signs are the true signs that lead us to God and His kingdom? Now, today I want to take a look at some aspects of action that we can do to discern what the true signs are. And for you who like to have sermon titles, I have titled this, "Signs, Signs, Everywhere a Sign." I'd like to first start off by sharing an experience that I had about 16 years ago. And if you're a little slow in the math in your head, that's 1988. Now, a week before the Feast of Tabernacles, I drove to the end of a logging road in the Olympic Mountains to begin a dream that I had for many years. That dream for me was to hike in a wilderness area, camp there, and be alone for a period of time. And what I did is I stepped off into the woods and I hiked into an area called the Wonder Mountain Wilderness Area, which borders the east side of Olympic National Park. My goal there was also to become closer to God in a way that I have never done before. See, I would be hiking in a true wilderness. There's no roads, there's no trails. And I felt that I could draw close to God in this environment. So I would pray, I would meditate, I would study His Word, the Bible, and I would fast for the trip. I would take no food, no water with me. Now, after a very, very strenuous hike through the untamed Olympic Mountains, I reached a unnamed lake where I made camp. The second day I broke camp and was headed for a lake that was about 3 miles away. About noon I reached an area where I could see for miles and miles the surrounding countryside, and it was beautiful. My trouble was, however, there was a cliff below me. And I looked at my topographical map, and I just couldn't figure out why that was there. So I decided that I would go back to my camp the previous night. But before leaving, I just put my back against a tree and looked at the countryside. And there I would admire the scenery, and with meditation and prayer, I talked to God. And with deep prayer, I had closed my eyes. The next thing I realized, it was 3:30 in the afternoon. I had fallen asleep for 3 hours. I made my decision to come back to the lake, and I spent that night there. But during that afternoon, I'd be reading the Bible, and you know, I just wasn't getting anywhere. And I became very frustrated in that. Later in that evening, I realized something. You see, in reality, I was just a babe in Christ. I had been only baptized for 2 years. And in my zeal for God, I thought that all I had to do was pray, meditate, and fast, and God would give me a sign from Him. What I was really looking for was a burning bush, like the one that Moses had seen. And then I would know the will of God. Essentially, what I was demanding from God was, show me a sign. And after I began to think about that, I realized that it was my attitude that was wrong. So I repented of those thoughts. Isn't that how it is with people? You know, they want to take the easy way. They don't want to work or take the effort. But just ask God, give me a sign. What you should do on the difficult questions in life, like what career you should choose, who you should marry, where you should live, and so on. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew 12. And we'll read something very interesting here. Matthew 12. And in verse 38, we'll begin. Now, Jesus, let's see here. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign." This sign here, talking about adulterous generation, is not meant like sleeping around. What it meant was that an adulterous generation was a generation who had turned away from God. Now, many in this nation are turning away from God's way of life and doing what they think is right, God does give us encouraging words for us who are seeking His will in our lives. Let's turn to Proverbs 8:32. And in Proverbs 8:32, we read this. "Now therefore, listen to me, my children." He's talking to us now. "For blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." What people are doing in this life is that they don't understand one thing, is that as you obey God's law, you obtain favor from God. What many people want from God is a sign, but not take their time to change their lives. They do not want to become overcome the difficulties in life that they need to overcome. What they seek is an emotional response that makes them feel good for a time. As Christians, we can ask God for a door that we can go through to make us stronger, have the power to overcome the sins in our lives, and make those necessary changes in life that will not only benefit ourselves, but others in their struggles. Now, through that open door with God's Spirit, we will be able to make better decisions in life and the choices that are beset before us. In other words, we must stay close to God at all times. As we draw close to God through prayer, meditation, the study of His Word, and through repentance, we will know His Word. In a time to come, Christ warns us about signs that will be given to the world. Let's turn to Matthew 24 and read those some of those signs that will be given to us. And in Matthew 24, we'll read verse 24. "For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Here we see that through a false prophet, there's deception. Now, this is also brought out in 2 Thessalonians 2, and let's go there. And in 2 Thessalonians 2, and in verse 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 9 through 10, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. If we, God's elect, do not stay close to God, we too will be swept away with an emotional response and turn away from God, and we will lose our salvation. Now, Revelation 13 talks about a false prophet that's going to come upon the scene. And let's go there. And Revelation 13, we'll start with verse 13. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. Here again we see deception and signs to the people of the earth. The signs are so great that people will think they're actually from God. But we just read that they did not believe in the truth. That is, that they had turned away from God's way of life, and they chose not to do God's way of life. In the end time, God will give signs also to his people. Let's go to Joel 2 and verse 28. Am I after Daniel here? Here is it. You know, in Joel 2, we'll read, start in 2:28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your son and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth. Now, the signs that God gives to us is not because we demand a sign. Rather, God gives us these signs because of it's his will and purpose to do so. So how can we avoid being deceived by the signs that are to come? Well, one is stay close to God. You cannot recognize the deceptive end powers and signs on your own. To understand, you must have the power of God's Spirit working in you. A close relationship with Christ is the only guarantee that you will not be deceived by the false Christ in the end time. The second way that we can avoid by being deceived by signs to come is determined to obey God. By obeying God, you will not be deceived when the forces of evil will be unleashed upon this earth. By obeying God, God will show favor upon you, as we have just read in Proverbs 8:35. 16 years ago, I walked out of the Wonder mountain wilderness area with a valuable lesson. The 4 days there showed me that if I put my trust into God and not demand my way, God will show favor to those who follow Him. I talked to God about many things on that trip, and God would show me favor 6 months later by giving me a gift. He gave me a wife and daughter. All I had was other than God Himself, was a compass and a topographical map to guide me in that trailless wilderness area. Today, people want the quick and easy way. As the scriptures state that in the end times, people run to and fro. It's a question of time. They hold in their hands a clock to say how long things take. We live in a speeded up generation. I read an interesting quote the other day that said, get a compass instead of a watch. It's more important to know where you are going than the time it takes you to get there. The compass in our lives is Jesus Christ. Stay close to Him and obey God, and we will know and not be deceived by the false signs to come.